ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतीर्वुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 85 एंटाइटल्ड लॉर्ड कृष्णा इंस्ट्रक्ट्स वसुदेव टेक्स्ट नंबर 41-43 टेक्स्ट नंबर 41 दैत्य दानव गंधर्वा सिद्ध विद्याधर चारणा यक्षरक्ष पिशाचाश्च भूत प्रमत नायका दैत्य दानव गंधर्वा सिद्ध विद्याद्र चारणा यक्षरक्ष पिशाचाश्च भूत प्रमत नायका दैत्य दानव गंधर्वा सिद्ध विद्याद्र चारणा यक्षरक्ष पिशाचाश्च भूत प्रमत नायका। दैत्यदानव गंधर्वा सिद्ध विद्याद्र चारणा प्रमत नायका दैत्यदानव गंधर्वा दैत्यदानव गंधर्वा सिद्ध विद्याद्र चारणा यक्षरक्षा पिशाचाश्च भूत प्रमत नायका। रीड द नेक्स्ट टू वर्सेस ऑल्सो। विशुद्ध सत्व दाम्यद्दा त्वयि शास्त्र शरीरिणि नित्यं निबद्ध वैरास्ते वयं चान्ये च तादृशा केचनोद्दद्ध वैरेण भक्त्या केचन कामतः न तथा सत्व संरब्धा सन्निकृष्टा सुरादय। वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। दैत्य दानव the daitya and danava demons, gandharva and the gandharvas, celestial singers, siddha vidyadhara charana, the siddha vidyadhara and charana demigods, Yaksha, the Yakshas, semi-pious spirits, Raksha, the Rakshasas, man-eating spirits, Pishacha, the carnivorous Pishacha demons, Cha, and Bhuta, the ghost, Pramata Nayaka, and the evil Pramata and Nayaka spirits. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: many who had been constantly absorbed in enmity towards you ultimately became attracted to you, who are the direct embodiment of transcendental goodness and whose divine form comprises the revealed scriptures. These reformed enemies include Daityas, Danavas, Gandharvas, Siddhas, Vidyadharas, Charanas, Yakshas, Rakshasas, Pishachas, Bhutas, Pramatas, and Nayakas, and also ourselves and many others like us. Some of us have become attracted to you because of exceptional hatred, while others have become attracted because of their mood of devotion based on lust. But the demigods and others, infatuated by material goodness, feel no such attraction for you. Purport: Srila Jiva Goswami explains the passage as follows. The Gandharvas, Siddhas, Vidyadharas and Charanas are adversaries of the Supreme Lord when they follow the lead of the Daitya and Danava demons. The Yakshas, Rakshasas, Pishachas and so on tend to be inimical because they are generally covered by ignorance. There are some rascals in the pure mode of ignorance, like Shishupal and Paundraka, who are totally absorbed in meditation on the Lord as their enemy. And this fixed consciousness yearns them liberation. Others, in a mixed condition of passion and ignorance, associate with the Lord with a desire for position and prestige. Maharaj Bali sees himself as belonging to this category. Yet Lord Vishnu favored Bali by becoming his doorkeeper in the subterranean region of Sutala, just as he favored the demons by killing and liberating them. And the Gandharvas by engaging them in singing his glories. He favored the Gandharvas by engaging them in singing his glories. On the other hand, the Lord awards sense gratification to those demigods who are proud of their being situated in the mode of goodness. Thus they become deluded and forget Him. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadatiswa Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamsya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। I would like to thank this temple authorities for giving this opportunity to speak on this occasion of Vamana Dwadashi, the appearance day of Lord Vaman Dev. I would also like to seek the blessings of Maharaj before speaking something on the glories of Lord Vaman Dev for the pleasure of the devotees. So today we are reading from this 10th canto, 85th chapter. Lord Krishna has arrived at Sutala Loka. In Sutala Loka, Lord Krishna has come to retrieve the six sons of Devaki, that is, the six sons who were born earlier to him from the womb of Devaki. And when Krishna has come to Sutala Loka, Bali Maharaj is offering these prayers to Lord Krishna. So we are actually reading these prayers. So in these prayers, Bali Maharaj is saying that he is talking about the mercy shown by the Supreme Lord to different personalities, daityas, danavas, yaksha, rakshasas. So he says that there are many people who are even absorbed in enmity towards you, ultimately became attracted to you. So because he says that because your body is actually the embodiment of pure goodness and your divine form comprises the revealed scriptures. So because Krishna's body is actually is completely in the pure mode of goodness, the Shuddha Sattva platform, Krishna does not have any feeling of hatred towards somebody. This is discussed elaborately in the 7th canto, 1st chapter. So, it is described, because Krishna, first of all, he does not have a material body, and he does not identify himself with the body. There is no difference between his body and soul. In the case of us, our body is actually different from the soul, and although we may, even if we most of the time when the living entity identifies himself with the body, so therefore he feels a hatred towards those people who criticize him, and he feels a favoritism towards those people who actually glorify him. But in the case of Krishna, he does not have any feeling of hatred towards somebody. Like one Vaishnava poet, he says that just like sun, even if the sun wants, sun cannot actually give darkness. In the presence of the sun, there cannot be any darkness. The same way, even if Krishna wants, he cannot actually hate a person. Because it's not possible for the Supreme Lord to hate somebody. But those people who have hatred towards the Supreme Lord, when they are absorbed in enmity towards the Lord, they get liberated because of that absorption in Krishna, even though out of enmity. And here Bali Maharaj is saying that your divine form comprises the revealed scriptures. So Krishna's body is actually is a personification of the Vedas. In the 3rd canto, when Varaha Dev appears, The third canto, 13th chapter, it is described that how the different limbs of Varahadev actually is compared to the different limbs of the sacrifice and the different Vedic meters. In one purport, Prabhupada explains that because Krishna's body is actually the personification of the Vedas, when a person worships the deity form of the Lord, it is equivalent to studying all the four Vedas 24 hours a day very scrutinizingly. So in that sense he says deity worship is actually non-different from, deity worship is equivalent to being minutely in touch with the deepest purport of the Vedic literatures, because there is no, Krishna's form is actually personification of the Vedas. Then further Bali Maharaj is saying that those reformed enemies who are actually absorbed in enmity towards you, and then he gives a list of people, the yakshas, rakshasas, daityas, danavas, siddhas, vidyadharas, pishachas, bhutas. He says that, and some of us have become attracted to you because of exceptional hatred, while others have become attracted because of their mood of devotion based on lust. So one may wonder, Gandharvas, Vidyadharas, like how come they come under the category of the demons? So Jiva Goswami says that Gandharvas and Vidyadharas, when they take the side of the Daityas and Danavas, then they also come under the category of the demons. But they also get delivered by the Supreme Lord. Among them, some people like the Yakshas, Rakshasas, they are like generally covered by ignorance. Some people are completely absorbed in the mode of ignorance, like Sishupal and Paundraka. And there are others who are the mixed mode of passion and ignorance. So Bali Maharaj puts himself under that category. Like Bali Maharaj sees himself as a person who was seeking after prestige and position, and still he is feeling grateful that Lord Vishnu that favored him by becoming the doorkeeper of Sutala planet. And then finally Bali Maharaj says, on the other hand, the demigods, although they are situated in the mode of goodness, but because of being infatuated in the mode of goodness, the Lord actually does not favor them. He simply favors them by giving some position and wealth. So here we see that mode of goodness is like a bridge to come to the transcendental platform, or mode of goodness is like a staircase in order to come up to the first floor, in order to come up to the go up. But without the mode of goodness, without the bridge, one cannot cross the ocean of nescience, one cannot come to the stage of transcendental platform. But at the same time, if a person becomes attached to the mode of goodness, if a person tries to make a house in the bridge, then one may just get caught up in the, one may just get caught up in one's own piety, and then one may forget the purpose of actually coming to the transcendental platform of engaging in devotional service. So Bali Maharaj is saying, in the case of the demigods, when they become attached with the mode of goodness, when they become infatuated with the mode of goodness, then they only get the mercy of the Lord in the form of actually some wealth and position. So that is why Krishna explains in the Gita, Tatra Sattvam Nirmalatva Prakashakam Anamayam Sukha Sangena Badnati Jnana Sangena Chanaga. So Krishna says that the symptoms of a person in mode of goodness is that a person is happy and a person has knowledge. Prakashakam Anamayam. But then Krishna explains, he tells Arjuna, but you are Anaga, you are sinless. So you please do not become attached to mode of goodness. If you become attached to mode of goodness, that I am so knowledgeable, I am so happy, then that attachment to mode of goodness will actually degrade you to the mode of passion and ignorance. So therefore, here he says that the demigods, because of their attachment to mode of goodness, they don't get the mercy. On the other hand, the other personalities, Daityas and Danavas, Pishachas, although they were absorbed in enmity towards you, they get your mercy. So the point is that it is not that mode of goodness is condemned. We need the mode of goodness. We need to come to the airport in order to catch the flight. We need the help of a bridge in order to cross the river. Without the bridge, without coming to the airport, we cannot actually catch the flight. Without taking the bridge, one cannot actually cross the river or the ocean. But being attached to the bridge, that is what is being condemned. So here we see Bali Maharaj, Srila Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he describes Bali Maharaj when he actually describes Virya Ras. So Rupa Goswami describes there are 5 primary rasas and 7 secondary rasas. One of the secondary rasas is called as Virya Ras or Chivalry. So in Virya Ras, he says that there are 4 types of Virya Ras. Yuddha Vira, one who shows chivalry, one who shows courage in fighting, and Dana Vira, one who shows courage in giving charity, and Daya Vira, one who is courageous in acts of compassion, and fourthly Dharma Vira, one who shows courage in the performance of dharmic activities. So when he describes, say, we'll not go into the details of all the 4, but for example, when he describes Yuddha Vira, just to give an idea, one who is courageous in fighting, so he says that in Yuddha Vira there are 2 categories. Sometimes a devotee of Krishna, out of affection towards Krishna, he fights with Krishna. A cowherd boy actually fights with Krishna, and in this way he gives the pleasure of Virya Ras to Krishna. So, or another category is that when 2 cowherd boys fight with each other and Krishna becomes a spectator. In that way, they give Krishna the pleasure of actually Virya Ras by giving an opportunity to Krishna to see the fight between 2 cowherd boys. And in the case of Dana Vira, he says that Dana Vira has 2 categories, munificence and renunciation. One who is courageous, one who shows courage in being munificent. And secondly, renunciation, that means one who is courageous in not accepting anything apart from pure devotional service from Krishna. One who is courageous in rejecting even liberation or any material benefit from Krishna. So in the first category of Dana Vira, that is munificence, so he says that there are 2 types. Abhyudayika Dana Vira. Abhyudayika Dana Vira means a devotee gives charity to a brahmana for the sake of creating auspiciousness for Krishna. Like for example, Nanda Maharaj would give charity to brahmanas for the sake of Krishna at the time of Krishna's birth, during the Uttana ceremony and on different occasions, for creating auspiciousness for Krishna. That is Abhyudayika Dana Vira. And another category is that Tat Sampradanaka Yuddha Vira. Tat Sampradanaka Dana Vira. That means a person gives charity directly to Krishna. So in this category, Tat Sampradanaka Dana Vira, a person gives charity directly to Krishna. Again, there are 2 subcategories. It is not meant to confuse you, but just we can appreciate what is given by our acharyas actually. I'm just giving a small glimpse of that. So in Tat Sampradana Kuidavira, again there are two categories. One is Preeti Dana. A person gives charity to Krishna out of love towards Krishna. In a friendly mood, a person gives charity to Krishna. So for example, he gives the example of Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira Maharaj, at the time of Rajasuya sacrifice, he gave charity to Krishna that he anointed the body of Krishna with the sandalwood pulp, and he gave nice garments to Krishna. He gave so much of gold to Krishna, and then he further wished to give Krishna in charity his kingdom, his family and his personal self also. And after giving all these things, Yudhishthira Maharaj became so disturbed. Oh, I don't have anything more to give to Krishna. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, he gives an example of Preeti Dana, and the second category of Tat Sampradanaka Dana Veera is that Puja Dana, where a person gives charity to Krishna in the mood of worshipping Krishna. And here comes the example of Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj gave charity to Krishna, gave charity to Vamanadev. He gave all his possessions in the first two steps, and in the third step he offered himself in the mood of worshipping the Supreme Lord. So Rupa Goswami says that when Vamanadev came, Vamanadev, who has the goddess of fortune in his command for enjoyment, that Vamanadev came as a beggar begging for charity from Bali Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj, he offered himself and all his possessions in charity to Vamanadev. And yes, in the Danaveera, as I mentioned, the two categories are munificence and renunciation. In munificence only we saw all these subcategories. That is Abhyudayika Danaveera, Tat Sampradanaka Danaveera, and within that Preeti Dana and Pujadana. But in the category of renunciation, the case of renunciation, so in the case of munificence, a devotee is a giver of charity. Either Krishna is a recipient of charity or some Brahmana is a recipient of charity. But in the case of renunciation, Krishna is a giver of charity and the devotee is a recipient of charity. Devotee is a recipient of charity. In this case, when a devotee is receiving charity from Krishna, although Krishna is ready to give anything, but a devotee is not wanting anything except pure devotional service. In this way, he is exhibiting his courage. In this way, he is exhibiting his courage in not wanting anything other than pure devotional service. And for this, he gives the example of Rupa Goswami gives the example of Dhruva Maharaj. And Dhruva Maharaj, he exhibited courage in two occasions. When he was hurt by the harsh words of Surichi, and Dhruva Maharaj went to the forest. At that time, going to the forest means like forest is actually filled with ferocious animals. And Dhruva Maharaj is only a 5-year-old boy, but he exhibited courage in going to the forest. So this courage of Dhruva Maharaj in going to the forest, that courage actually came from his nature of a kshatriya, from his psychophysical nature of being a kshatriya. But when Dhruva Maharaj worshipped Krishna in the forest, and he performed such intense austerities and intense devotional service under the instruction of Narada Muni, and when Lord Vishnu appeared, and then finally, when he told Lord Vishnu, Swamin Kritartosmi Varamna Yache, there he exhibited the second attitude of courage. And this courage is not coming from his actually psychophysical nature. This courage is coming from his performance of devotional service. Because after putting so much of effort just for getting actually with the only purpose of getting a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma, and then finally when Lord appeared to make the statement that actually I am completely satisfied, I do not want anything. I don't want even liberation, I just want association of devotees. To say that, that also requires, great courage. So therefore, he comes under the category of Danavira, in the sense, although the Lord was ready to give any charity to Dhruva Maharaj, he did not want anything material. In that sense, he exhibited courage. So, coming back to Bali Maharaj. So, in the case of Bali Maharaj, so this pastime comes in the 8th canto. This is one of the most exciting stories of Srimad Bhagavatam. The predominant part of 8th canto, almost 8 or 9 chapters in the 8th canto, has a story of Bali Maharaj. So we see there are several lessons in the story of Bali Maharaj, but I will just concentrate on few points and few instances in the story. Vamanadev, the story begins with when the demigods were actually, when they lost all their positions. In fact, it is described that when the demigods, although after the Samudra Manthan, they got the nectar and they became very powerful and they defeated the demons. But the demons, Bali Maharaj actually died. But Bali Maharaj was revived by Shukracharya by using the Mrityu Sanjeevani mantra. And then Bali Maharaj worshipped Shukracharya nicely. And then by the worship of Shukracharya, Bali Maharaj became so powerful. And then Bali Maharaj attacked the demigods when he came to Amaravati, the capital of Indra. Just by seeing the effulgence of Bali Maharaj, Indra became afraid. Previously he fought with Bali Maharaj and defeated, but now just by seeing the effulgence of Bali Maharaj, he became afraid. And then when he consulted Brihaspati, Brihaspati said that you don't even make an attempt to fight with Bali Maharaj, because now these demons are so powerful that because they have worshipped the spiritual master so nicely, that there is no way that you can actually defeat over them. So then understanding, getting the, after the advice of Brihaspati, like Indra and the demigods, they actually leave the Amaravati and then they actually start hiding in different places. And then Aditi, the mother of the demigods, she becomes very anxious and she approaches Kashyapa Muni. And she expresses her desire that her sons have lost their position and their kingdom. And then Kashyapa Muni engages her in the Pumsavana or Payovrata. Payovrata sacrifice. And then Lord Vishnu appears in front of Aditi. And one interesting thing with Lord Vishnu says is that actually even I cannot do anything in this situation, because the demons have worshipped the Brahmanas and they are very powerful. So, as soon as Radhana Swami Maharaj explained in a class, so this tells that the blessings of the Brahmanas is actually more powerful than even the blessings of the Supreme Lord. And it was proved that blessings of the Brahmanas is more powerful than even the nectar. Because the Bali Maharaj worshipped Shukracharya, by the blessings of Shukracharya, they became more powerful than the demigods who got their power by drinking nectar. But not just more powerful than, actually it was more powerful than the nectar, the blessings of the Brahmanas is more powerful than even the blessings of the Supreme Lord. So Lord Vishnu said, even I cannot do anything, but because you have worshipped me, this will not go in vain. So I will appear as your son, I will trick the demons in disrespecting the Brahmanas, and when they disrespect the Brahmanas, and then I will actually take their possessions and give it to your sons, demigods. In this way Lord Vishnu is actually selling to Aditi. And of course then Vamanadeva appears to Kashyapa Muni and Aditi, and there is a beautiful description of the beauty of Vamanadeva. And as soon as Vamanadeva appears, then Vamanadeva immediately goes on a mission. Vamana Devi is actually we see one thing is that the Lord is actually focused on the mission. As soon as Vamana Dev gets the Brahman thread, then he immediately actually goes to the place where Bali Maharaj was performing the sacrifice. So sometimes in actually discharging the mission, there can be obstacles from the loving devotees, or there can be obstacles from even the demons. Like for example, in the case of Krishna, when Krishna entered Mathura, Akrura requested Krishna to come to his house. And Kubja also, she rendered service to Krishna by anointing Krishna, and she also requested Krishna to actually come to her house. But Krishna was focused on the mission of killing Kamsa. So Krishna did not get diverted in reciprocating the loving devotees. Krishna did not allow the loving dealings with the devotees to divert his mission of establishing dharma in the form of killing Kamsa. So sometimes loving reciprocation with the devotees can come as an obstacle, but the Lord actually does not, he is focused on the mission. At the same time, he did fulfill the desires of Akrura and Kubja by later coming to them. And also we see, even when fighting with Jarasandha, when Jarasandha attacks Mathura, Krishna is contemplating. Oh, Jarasandha is so enthusiastic in actually gathering all the demons. So Krishna is thinking that I will kill all the armies of Jarasandha, but I will not kill Jarasandha. That means, because I have come to this world to establish dharma, to relieve the burden of the earth, let me not allow the personal enmity towards Jarasandha, let it not affect my mission of establishing dharma, of relieving the burden of the earth. So Krishna does not allow the personal loving relationship with the devotees or personal enmity towards the demons, does not allow that to disturb his mission of establishing dharma. So he is focused on the mission. So here also Vamana Dev, he immediately goes to the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj. And then he begs for charity from Bali Maharaj. Because the story goes that how Bali Maharaj beautifully glorifies Vamana Dev. Then Vamana Dev just asks for 3 steps of land. And Bali Maharaj is actually completely surprised by that. He said, I am ready to give anything. Why are you asking for 3 steps of land? It is a completely foolish thing. And then Vamana Dev gives wonderful instructions on satisfaction. He says that if a person is not satisfied with 3 steps of land, one will not be satisfied even if he gets all the 3 planetary systems. If a person cannot control his mind, then even if he gets so many sense objects for satisfying in senses, he will be completely dissatisfied, he will be frustrated. So at that time, when Bali Maharaj prepares himself to give charity, so before that, there is one very beautiful verse which you would like to focus on. When Vamana Dev, when he is speaking to Bali Maharaj, Vamana Dev tells to Bali Maharaj that you are very fortunate because you have got 2 kinds of advisors in your life. You have got advisors in your life in the form of the Brahmanas who come in the dynasty of Bhrigumuni, who advise you for living in this world. And you are also fortunate because you have advisors in the form of Prahlad Maharaj for your next life, or in other words, for leaving this world. So he says that basically, a fortunate is a person who has got the advisors from the Vedic authorities for how to live in this world and also for how to leave this world. That means the spiritual authorities, that means how to leave this world is actually by remembering Krishna. By remembering Krishna means one has to discharge devotional service throughout one's life. Basically, the authority for leaving this world is basically the pure devotees, the Srimad Bhagavatam, who actually teaches how to discharge devotional service and in this way leave this world by remembering the Lord. And Bali Maharaj is also fortunate because he has also got advisors for living this world who are also Vedic authorities, who are also the Brahmanas in the form of Shukracharya. So Shukracharya, he is his advisor for living in this world, is a Brahmana, and Prahlad Maharaj is an advisor for his next life, for leaving this world. That means Prahlad Maharaj is actually instructing him in devotional service. So this is an interesting verse, because if we see, if we try to introspect, like, we have our authority as Srila Prabhupada and Srimad Bhagavatam as actually for leaving this world, for actually for they are our spiritual authorities for discharging devotional service. But how much do we accept the Vedic authority for living in this world? Of course, in Kali Yuga, many times on many aspects of life, it may be practically impossible to accept the Vedic authority for living in this world. But there are many aspects of life where we have a choice, but although we may have a choice, we may actually accept the materialistic authority or the modern authority for living in this world. So when we accept the non-Vedic authority for living in this world, although we may be discharging devotional service, that will, because of accepting the non-Vedic authority or the materialistic principles for living in this world, that will create a disturbance in our devotional service in the long run. And we may think like, I am performing devotional service perfectly. Why I am getting these problems? But have we accepted the Vedic authority also for living in this world? When Krishna and Arjuna says in the Gita, Sarvam etat ridam manye, yanmam vadasi keshava. It means he says that I accept you in totality, whatever you say. It is not that, that means I accept you in totality, that means I accept you as authority for both for devotional service and also for living in this world. So when we accept a non-Vedic authority for living in this world, then it will create a certain disturbance in our devotional service. And that is why, if you see, Srimad Bhagavatam is our authority for devotional service, for the Bhagavad Dharma. But the principles for how to live in this world, they are taught in others. We can learn from Mahabharata and other scriptures. And if we don't accept the Vedic authority for living in this world, we end up accepting certain non-Vedic authorities, and that will create problem in the discharge of devotional service. Of course, as I mentioned, that on a practical level, in many aspects of life, there may not be any choice. But there are certain aspects of life, there may be a choice. But the principle one has to keep in mind. So that is why the Vedic scriptures, they give actually a wholesome program. They give a program for living in this world and attaining prosperity in this world, and also they give a program for how to discharge devotional service and how to leave this world. That's why Prabhupada writes in a purport in 4th canto, he says, what is the definition of success? Success means attaining material prosperity in this life and also attaining liberation in the next life. So he doesn't mention only about, but there are some organizations who are only focused on the art of living. So those organizations, they only try to make the material world comfortable. So they don't have any substance in the substance of philosophy. And some organizations or some preachers, if they are too much focused on the art of living, that means they become too much otherworldly, then they may not be, for most people in this world, some people may not be able to relate to such kind of presentation if the presentation is too much otherworldly. So therefore, there has to be a mixture of we have to teach the this worldly duties and also the other worldly duties, and that we find this in the example of the Mahajans itself. Like Bhishma Dev, he was in the deathbed, but he was teaching to Yudhishthira Maharaj. If you read the first canto, 9th chapter, he taught the Bhagavad Dharma, the principles for living this world, and he also taught the principles for living in this world. Dana Dharma, Raja Dharma, Stri Dharma, Kula Dharma. Because Yudhishthira Maharaj has many more responsibilities to discharge. He is not a person who is about to die. But in the case of Shukadeva Goswami, when he was speaking to Parikshit Maharaj, he only concentrated on the Bhagavad Dharma because he is speaking to a dying person. So his presentation of the philosophy is only otherworldly because his main candidate, his main student is actually is about to die. He does not have the need to dilute his philosophy by speaking about the other lower dharmas. But in the case of Bhishma Dev, he spoke the other dharmas and also the most important dharma, the Bhagavad Dharma, which is our eternal dharma, the devotional service of the Supreme Lord. So here the point here is that, so Vaman Dev, this verse is important. He says that you are very fortunate because both of these advisors, you have both these advisors in the are Vedic authorities. But the main thing we can see here is that sometimes when we may have the Vedic authority for living in this world, but at a certain point in life, we have to understand that the purpose of the following the Vedic authority for living in this world is ultimately to follow the authority who is teaching us to perform devotional service. So the spiritual authority who is teaching us devotional service, who is teaching us the who is the authority for leaving this world, he is actually superior to the Vedic authority who is teaching us to live in this world. So here Shukracharya is telling Bali Maharaj that do not give charity to Vamana Dev because he will take away everything. But Bali Maharaj at this point, he does not follow the authority of Shukracharya, but he follows the authority of Prahlad Maharaj. So one has to have the discrimination to draw the line where I should follow the authority for living in this world and where I should actually, when I should reject this authority, when I should actually completely engage in devotional service and actually dedicate myself to the Lord. So that discrimination one has to have, and Bali Maharaj made that discrimination. So we see here Shukracharya is an example of actually forcing authority. In the sense, when Bali Maharaj did not give charity, when Bali Maharaj refused to follow the instruction of Shukracharya, Shukracharya actually cursed Bali Maharaj. That means he was literally forcing Bali Maharaj. So there are two things, forcing authority and another is forcing on the authority. So sometimes a superior may force on the subordinate, or sometimes a subordinate may force on the superiors. So Shukracharya was putting a pressure on Bali Maharaj to follow his instruction, and sometimes a subordinate may force, like for example, like it may be on a subtle level. Like for example, like Duryodhan forcing on Dronacharya in the first chapter of the Gita. In sarcastic manner, he was actually forcing Dronacharya. Oh, you have to fight properly. You cannot actually show impartiality. You cannot show partiality towards the Pandavas. Or even sometimes, say, devotees like Chitraketu Maharaj, when Angira Rishi came to give spiritual instruction, but Chitraketu Maharaj, he put a subtle pressure. He said, I want a son from you. Please give me a son. In that sense, he was not ready to accept what he wanted to give spiritual instruction, but he forced his desire upon Angira Rishi. So, when Bali Maharaj did not follow Shukracharya, Bali Maharaj rejected the advice of Shukracharya. So, Prabhupada writes that we have to understand this point properly. Bali Maharaj, he rejected the instructions of Shukracharya, but he continued to respect Shukracharya as the superior. So we have to be culturally dependent but intellectually independent. So Bali Maharaj did not reject the culture of respecting the superiors. In fact, the way he responds to Shukracharya is that, I accept whatever you say, I accept total, I accept it, I fully accept. Because Shukracharya spoke from the dharmic point of view. Whatever you say, I accept it, but still I want to give charity because of these reasons. He gives a list of reasons. So that means culturally he respected Shukracharya, but intellectually he was independent, because intellectually he felt that the purpose of following this dharma is to ultimately follow the supreme dharma. Nehayat karma dharmaya na viragaya kalpate na tirtha pada sevaye jivan api mrutopi saha. The purpose of dharma karma should lead to dharma, and dharmic activity should lead to renunciation, and renunciation should lead to bhakti. If it does not lead to bhakti, then a person, although he is living, he is considered to be dead. So the dharmic activity should lead to the ultimate dharma of performing devotional service to the Lord. So Shukracharya was speaking on the basis of dharma, but it was actually coming in controversy to the supreme dharma of surrendering to the Lord. So that is why Bali Maharaj actually rejected that proposal. So we see that like, for example, like when Rishabhadev was giving instruction to his sons, Rishabhadev, he tells that every father, a spiritual master, should instruct his subordinates like the way I am instructing you. But the subordinates do not, if the disciple does not follow the instruction of the guru should not become angry with the disciple, but continue to encourage him, continue to instruct him. So that means we see, in the case of a spiritual master, he gives instructions, and also if a disciple does not follow, he continues to encourage without becoming angry. And in the case of here, from the point of view of a disciple, here Shukracharya has deviated because he is telling not to surrender to Vamanadev. So here Bali Maharaj is not following the instruction of Shukracharya, but he is not rejecting the culture of disobeying the culture of disrespecting the superiors. So this is something important, because many times we encounter, suppose our parents or other superiors, when they are not favorable for our discharge of devotional service, sometimes we become disrespectful towards them. Yeah, we have to continue to practice devotional service, but that does not mean that we disrespect them. We have to respect them, but intellectually we have to follow the path of devotional service. And so Goindra was explaining in one class, said that we need leaders who can free their followers from the leaders themselves. So Shukracharya, he was actually wanting, he was forcing on Bali Maharaj that you have to make the choice according to me. When he did not make the choice, he actually cursed him. So leader should actually give the freedom to the follower, just like Krishna told Arjuna, now you decide what you want to do. Prahlad Maharaj told his classmates, now I have instructed you, now you deliberate on what I have spoken, and then you make the decision whether you want to follow the path of fruitive activities or whether you want to follow the path of devotional service. So when a subordinate is actually dependent on the superior, both culturally and also intellectually, then he becomes a slave. When a subordinate is independent of the superior, both culturally and intellectually, then he is arrogant. So one has to follow the culture of respecting the superiors, but at the same time, one should not blindly follow, one has to make the decision in accordance with the Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So in one purport, in the 10th canto, Vishnu Chakotakur says that when a great soul performs certain actions, one should follow the actions of a great soul if those actions are in agreement with his instructions. And one should follow even the instructions of a great soul if those instructions are in agreement with what is there in the scriptures. So therefore, one has to one should not blindly follow, one has to check between Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So here we see from the example of Bali Maharaj, like Bali Maharaj, how he dealt with Shukracharya, this is an important thing. So like, just these last few points, like for example, like if we see in the history of a spiritual organization also, so sometimes when a superior falls down, when a guru falls down, there can be a behavioral fall down or a philosophical fall down. Like when Lord Brahma was running after his daughter, that is like a behavioral fall down. Or when Shukracharya is telling Bali Maharaj not to surrender, it is like a philosophical fall down. So there are three wrong attitudes towards dealing with a fallen guru. One wrong attitude is that subordinates think that, oh, whatever the guru does, it is transcendental, and they continue to follow. So this is called blindly following. Or another wrong attitude is that sometimes a subordinate, they reject the guru when the guru has fallen down, but then they think that, oh, if the guru has fallen down, then I will also fall down. So let me also, I think I will also fall down in the future, it is for sure. So let me also stop practicing devotional service. This is another wrong attitude. That means they lose faith in the process of devotional service also. And another wrong attitude is that they reject the guru who has fallen down, but they forget the previous good instructions which the guru gave and which helped him to advance in devotional service previously, and they completely give up their gratitude towards the guru who may have helped previously in his advancement of devotional service. They become so angry, and they become so disrespectful, and they reject the culture of respecting the superiors. So Bali Maharaj, in the case of Bali Maharaj, he did not follow the instruction of Shukracharya, but he continued to respect Shukracharya, which becomes evident later in the 8th canto, 23rd chapter. So we can see this example from Bali Maharaj. And if we see Shukracharya was more concerned with the material prosperity. He told Bali Maharaj not to give charity, because Shukracharya felt that if he gives everything charity, like what will I get dakshina from, from Bali Maharaj. So you are most concerned with the material prosperity. But a real spiritual master is not concerned with the material wealth from the disciple, but he is actually concerned with the person, he is concerned with the disciple. Like in the case of Narada Muni, when he was instructing Prachina Barishad, he was not, although Prachina Barishad became a devotee, but Narada Muni wanted Prachina Barishad to take full shelter of devotional service, so therefore he gave a second allegorical story. He was not concerned with the wealth of Prachina Barishad, but whereas he was concerned with the person Prachina Barishad. And we see that when Bali Maharaj was actually bound by Vamanadev with the Varuna Pash, that time the real character of Bali Maharaj comes out. Bali Maharaj does not actually seek justice from Vamanadev. In fact, he says that Pumsam Shlagyatamam Manye Dandam Arhatta Marpitam Yamna Mata Pita Brata Sugrudash Chadishantihi. He says that the punishment given by you, the Supreme Lord, is higher than the so-called benediction by the well-wishers of this world. So Bali Maharaj does not seek justice, and that is the character of Bali Maharaj. So in bhakti, in the discharge of devotional service, when we seek justice, we lose the shelter of Krishna. So when we seek justice, we have a shelter in our good behavior. And when we have the shelter in our good behavior, then we stop taking shelter of Krishna. So Bali Maharaj did not say that I did fulfill my promise, I gave everything, still why are you binding me with the Varuna Pash? In that way he did not seek justice. So when he did not seek justice, he took full shelter of Vamanadev. And therefore Prabhupada writes in a purport that Bali Maharaj was actually like severely tested by Vamanadev. He was ridiculed in front of everyone. The way Lord tested Bali Maharaj, it is actually unimaginable. Practically nobody can undergo such kind of test. But Prabhupada explains in a purport, but whenever the Lord tests a person, he also gives the strength to actually pass the test also. He gives the test only according to the capacity of the person. So Vamanadev tested Bali Maharaj severely. So in this way, Vamanadev bound Bali Maharaj with the Varuna Pash. But the Varuna Pash is something material that did not last long. But Bali Maharaj bound Vamanadev with the Prema Pash. And that Prema Pash lasted for the rest of eternity. That Bali Maharaj, Vamanadev became the doorkeeper of Bali Maharaj in the Sutal Loka for the rest of eternity. So in this way we see that Bali Maharaj is the personification of Atma Nivedanam. And Rupa Goswami explains that out of the different devotional processes, Sakyam and Atma Nivedanam are more difficult, very difficult processes. And Bali Maharaj perfected his life by Atma Nivedanam. So with this I'll stop this class. So I'll thank you for your patient hearing. Hare Krishna. Rantaranath Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.